My ultimate goal is obviously to go to the NBA, so I'm not trying to make 10 times more money to go to a program that's not as good as a BYU. To just get more money, if my ultimate goal is to go to the NBA, and I'll be hopefully making that type of money.
Fredette for the lead. Yes! Fredette with a three. Bullseye! And a shot by Fredette!
This is From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette.
Shoot your shot. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jimmer Fredette. And this is From the Logo. Great to have you with us for our deep range conversations about life in and well beyond the world of sports. Jimmer, what's top of mind today, brother?
Top of mind. As everyone can see, I changed my background. I think I have better video. Like, we're getting real in here, right? We're getting here real on From the Logo. We both have From the Logo little emblems from Vandy Creations.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Vandy Creations. We appreciate you guys. It's a great day. Another awesome pod we have for you guys today. And Zach was awesome last week. It was fun to talk with him and get into his mind a little bit, but excited to be here.
As always, our purpose in this podcast is to uplift, educate, and entertain all of you, our listeners and viewers, and we appreciate you being with us. The subscriber number grows, the engagement grows. We're thrilled about it. We want more of it. Spread the word and send in your insights using our social media platforms. We also love to speak with people, and in our previous five episodes, we've had some high-level people, most recently Britton Covey and Zach Wilson, as you mentioned, Jimmer, who were just great. They excel at what they do. They have unique takes on faith and their professional sports. And we have found that in many ways, they're just like the rest of us. And I love that relatability that we deal with in this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just like us. But I will say, it's time to get a basketball guy in here. Like, we've had too many football people, right? I love football. It's awesome, you know, but it's getting close to basketball season. That's what I have to say. So I am excited about this guest because it's a basketball guest. But yes, Zach and Britton both were great. Both just normal people trying to live. I mean, Zach has had our dream wedding, right? Like, I mean, Whitney is still talking about it. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun, but it's time to get a basketball guy in.
Fair enough. And our starting lineup includes a VIP in the basketball world today. He is one of the most talked about young up-and-coming basketball players on the face of the planet. He is AJ DiBonsa and is largely considered the number one prep recruit in the country. He has committed to Brigham Young University to play for Kevin Young and looks to, in his words, win a national championship there. He has set his bar as high as it will go before he continues his career into the NBA. Cannot wait to find out about why he chose BYU ultimately when there were so many options. What a guy like Kevin Young, his new head coach, has meant to him in his development. And Jimmer, frankly, what it was like for him to play with the U19 USA basketball squad when they won gold in Europe earlier this summer.
Yeah, he's a multiple gold medal winner with USA basketball. Obviously, just did it recently at the U19s. He knows what it means to represent the USA, and I want to talk to him about that. I think that's amazing. Obviously, we want to talk to him about what his decision was like. I'm sure he had everyone calling, and I'm sure he had a lot of money that is getting thrown at him. But ultimately, he decided to go to Provo, go to BYU with Kevin Young and coaching staff. Obviously, they have something cooking in Provo, and I want to understand why AJ did that. He's a really, really good young man, and he's obviously an incredible basketball player and, you know, literally probably the best in the world at his age, and not many people can say that. So excited to talk with him about that and, you know, just have some fun with him.
Yes, and it's only fitting that I think you were the first connection he had with BYU. So why not get the two of you involved in the same conversation and let's have some fun talking hoops. As you mentioned, yep. You've waited long enough. Dude, let's talk some serious
hoops. It's absolutely time.
All right. We'll get to AJ in just a few minutes, but not before we get to our early tray, specifically three top of mind subjects to set the pace and really get this conversation rolling, much like a Jimmer tray would at the beginning of any basketball game after tip off. Okay, Jimmer, I'll ask you again. Are you ready to shoot?
You know I'm ready to shoot. As soon as I get off the bus. Right off the bus, I'm ready to shoot.
All right, bro. Get in position because here we go. Number one in our early tray, I asked the following question. In your opinion, and I know you'll have a very educated answer in this regard because you've lived all of this. Do you start a young player or rookie when there are such high expectations, especially if you're like an early round draft pick or up high draft pick, or do you opt to bring them off the bench? Where do you fall in that conversation?
Yeah, I love this topic because we obviously just talked to Zach and it happened to him as well. In New York, he was right in there, but it was, you know, something where that was not necessarily the plan, but that's what happened. For me, honestly, I am in the camp of if there is a special young player, I want to see him play right away. I just don't think that there is any reason to keep him on the bench because of the fact, like, if you invested so much into this person and if they have it, they're going to be able to learn through the process. And it's like, if they're close to the person that's their backup or someone that they're competing with, or if they're even a little bit better, I'm throwing them in there and I'm just seeing what they can do. Because you either have it or you don't, and you'll find out pretty quickly. And specifically with quarterbacks or with point guards, people that have the ball a lot in their hands, you can tell fairly quickly. And at that point, if you feel like, hey, this person doesn't have it, it's almost, you know, an opportunity for you to kind of get off of it quicker than, you know, maybe you would think. But, you know, with quarterbacks, it's such a big deal that you can take a quarterback every year until you find the right one. And that seems weird, but I know that there's GMs and coaches that kind of think that way. And I'm kind of in that camp where you just throw them in the fire, see what they have, see what's up here in their mind, and see if they can fight through that adversity.
Yeah, this is such a nuanced conversation because you're right. Some men and women are ready for that moment right now, yep. But they are few and far between. I would say the majority probably need to be eased into a situation. And you take an elite level quarterback like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. He wasn't immediately thrust into the fire. He was behind Alex Smith, and Andy Reid brought him along somewhat slowly and then said, "Okay, now I'm turning the reins over to you. Go and do your thing." It's not like Patrick was an old quarterback when he took over, but it worked out. Even Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay behind Brett Favre. The Packers drafted him. He sat behind one of the all-time greats in Brett Favre and then was eased into the situation. You brought up Zach. I would have loved for Zach Wilson to have that opportunity in New York. And even when they had the reset, when they brought in the aforementioned Aaron Rodgers, like, let him just observe and kind of be mentored by this guy who's been in the fire and won a Super Bowl. But he gets injured one drive into the game, the first game of the season, and Zach is right back in. That's such a tough scenario to navigate. But I probably lean toward the majority of the time, let him be eased into the situation before you turn him fully loose and let him go.
Yeah, for sure. Understand it. Totally understand it. I'm curious, like, if Patrick played his first year, how he would have done, because he's someone that has it. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because it can go either direction. But I'm like, as a competitor, just put me in there and let me see if I can do it. Right.
Absolutely. Your management didn't want to wait, Jimmy. They threw you into the Kings. Like, let's see what this guy's got. Oh, okay. Question number two. And this is a loaded conversation. I know we're pushing through these quickly, but just to get people thinking about things, I've had several people, as I've raised my own kids, and I have four, and I know you've got three, Jimmer, and you're starting to deal with some of these scenarios, but you see what your kids are good at, what they naturally excel at, and you put them in these clubs or on these teams because you want them to experience competition and have fun with their friends and be active and play in sports. Yep. But you probably noticed, as I have, that it is more competitive than ever at a very young age. Like, it feels like if you want your 6-year-old son or daughter to be elite, you have to get him in the AAU circuit. You got to have him playing on multiple teams. They probably have to be on a travel team. It costs a ton of money, and you might not have the resources or the network to where you feel comfortable that they're going to get the most competitive shot. So what in the world do parents that don't have those resources and connections, or maybe even the money required to do that, how can they help their kids stay relevant and competing so that they get their fair shot?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. I get asked this a lot by parents specifically. Obviously, when I was younger, I was kind of in that boat. We didn't have a lot, you know, to just go out there and go to every tournament. And we started just with our high school team. So we just got our high school team together and we ended up in local tournaments with our high school team. And we would do well in these high school, in these local tournaments. But these local tournaments are pretty good. There's a lot of really good local tournaments that you can get in as a player with a team. And there's college coaches there. And then all of a sudden, if someone notices you, there may be a bigger club that comes in, you know, a bigger AAU program that says, hey, who are you? And I want you on my team. And if that's the case, they'll figure out a way to help you get the funds to play on some of those elite level teams. But it starts with just going out there, finding a group of guys that you trust, that you play with, that play well together, getting out and just playing, actually doing the research to find all of the local tournaments that you have, because everyone has them. And a lot of times they're better than you think. And the competition is better than you think. So just getting out there and playing, and having a good time and then seeing what comes of it. I think that's a big thing, that there's a lot more local tournaments than you realize.
So you're telling everyone there's a chance, and that is important.
Always. That's right.
Okay. Or you just use the hallway in your local church to refine your skills, right?
Whatever works, go do it.
Okay. Final question in this early tray. And we might not have enough time to answer all of the potentials that you have here, Jimmer, but in the world of NIL deals, because you at BYU, it feels like would have had your pick of the litter, my friend, but that wasn't the case back in 2010 and 2011. What NIL deals would you have wanted to participate in if it had existed back when you played at BYU?
There's a couple that come to mind specifically, right? One of the things back when I was young that was super popular was Got Milk. I wanted a milk mustache. I wanted it bad, right? I love milk. My mom used to talk to me about, like, I don't understand. I would drink like 3 full glasses of milk at every meal.
Yeah.
That's why my bones were super strong, right? Like, it just, it was what it was. I wanted a Got Milk, NIL deal for sure. And then, of course, Wheaties box. I wanted Wheaties. Who does not want to be on a Wheaties box? I mean, a lot of times it's for Olympians and gold medalists, but I mean, maybe they would have made an exception for me. Jimmer Mania, come on. Like, get me on a Wheaties box. Those were probably two of the best. That's what I would have to say. Obviously, there's a ton of great companies out there, but there's nothing better as a young kid when you were, you know, the Wheaties, milk goes together perfectly too, right? I mean, come on. Nothing
Listen, better. Our guest in episode 2, Jeremy Guthrie, talked about a roundabout way to get onto a Wheaties box. I know he's a World Series champion. Perhaps he knows something that we can do to make that happen retroactively, Jimmer. Let's get you on a Wheaties box, man.
Coming back, Jeremy. Coming back to talk to you.
Okay, that wraps up the early tray on From the Logo. Let's take our first break. When we come back, you don't have to wait any longer. AJ DiBonsa gets the full court press, and he is ready to play ball when From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette continues.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
From the Logo continues, and it is time for the full court press with our VIP guest. As always, the segment's presented by Eddie. And joining us now is the number one overall rated recruit on the prep basketball scene. He has committed to BYU, where he is preparing to play his freshman season for the Cougars, and head coach Kevin Young. He recently showed up on one of the most epic photos I have ever seen, with the Wasatch Mountains in the background and him dunking on an old playground style hoop. He is AJ DiBonsa. AJ, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Off day today, but we were practicing this week. We'll be back at it tomorrow, but I'm good.
Okay, I want to go back and talk about the photo I just referenced. what happened? Like, when and where did that happen to create the perfect lighting and just a poster that I legitimately want in my house?
Shout out Nate. Shout out Shauna. I just do the animations and they take the pictures and edit them. Like, they told me to do a dunk. We go put the mound. The mounds are in the background. Just do a dunk. So I was like, might as well just go between the legs. It told me not to actually dunk it though, because the rim might break. Just fake dunk it.
That's great. You know, I will say this, AJ. I've had a lot of photo shoots, a lot of video shoots. They've never asked me to try to dunk it. It's a little, you know, a little bit embarrassing. Never asked me to. I can't do any of that anyway. They just keep asking me to shoot from the outside. But that's awesome. What a cool photo.
Pictures aren't bad either.
Yeah, shooting pictures aren't bad. I got the form. Right. Yeah. So, all right. So hey, I'm from upstate New York, not too far from where you grew up as well. In Massachusetts. So I played for actually the Albany City Rocks when I was younger. And I'm sure you played against the City Rocks going through, you know, your AAU circuit. Who do you think? Expression Elite or Albany City Rocks? What do you got?
All-time City Rocks versus all-time Expressions.
Let's do it. What do you think?
Gotta go with us. Like, just y'all have a lot of people, but the only reason why I'm saying us is because a lot of people from New York don't only play for City Rocks. Like, you have Wrens. Yeah. You have other New York Lightning, like a lot of good players going through there too. So yep. I'm happy with the Boston in that specific aspect.
I like it. Obviously I'll pick the New York squad. But back in the day, it used to be the Gauchos. The Gauchos were the team back in the day. But yeah, that's funny. I love hearing that. And then you transitioned to the Oakland Soldiers. How did that happen? How did you get out to the West Coast? What was the thing?
I went to Prolific Prep for my sophomore junior season. I reclassed. Was really my junior season, and Tyron Stokes, who was the number one player in the 2026 class, he was like, I mean, this devour AAU basketball for a year. And I was like, let's go to Oakland Soldiers. And then we went to Oakland Soldiers. We lost in the Peace Jam Championship to, you know, Boozer Twins and Knight Riders, but I mean, it was just a fun game. I'm playing with him.
AJ DeBonza is with us on From the Logo. Okay, because you're here with Jimmer, I know you're talking AAU hoops right now, but AJ, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your first connection or at least understanding of BYU in some way had a relation to Teach Me How to Jimmer or Jimmer for Dead. So was Jimmer your entry point for BYU? And if it wasn't, what was it?
Yeah, when I got offered, I didn't know about like BYU. I never heard of it, never did any of that. With me, I do a lot of like where I'm this is where I'm trying to go. This is where I'm trying to go to college. So I'm looking at the researches. So I look up BYU, all I see is Jimmer Mania, Jimmer Fredette. I've heard the name, but I'm like, who is? So I do my research. I seen the March Madness, but I'm like, all right, like, did I take my visit? I see him, the banners in the annex. I'm like, all right, like, he got my respect.
That's phenomenal. That's amazing to hear, man. Like, it was such a great time. Obviously, I loved my time at BYU. We made a little bit of a run. People knew who we were. And if we could recruit people like you because of our run, I mean, hey, I feel like I've done my job, right? I've done my job at BYU. But also, AJ, man, we got a couple trophies behind me that I'm looking forward to you possibly getting, man. You see those? That's the Naismith right there, the AP Player of the Year, couple of Player of the Year trophies. I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure you have a personal goal to be able to compete for one of those, and then obviously the team goal, win a national championship, when you've talked about before, right?
Of course.
AJ, as you assess BYU as a team, and I know that you're finally starting to get the core together. Summer workouts were a little interesting because you're in Europe winning gold for Team USA on that level. And some other guys had been sick or weren't on campus. But now that you're all together and this core is starting to really show out, what has caught your attention the most about the way BYU plays basketball right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us is like how willingly unselfish we are. Like, despite the talent, like, we played live play yesterday, so we went up and down. And they put – so the first team was, like, me, Richie, Rob on the same team. And then they split us up. So it was me and Richie versus Rob, who was on the team. Tyler Cabo was on the other team. And they're winning. They're winning by, like, three. So I come down to court. I want Richie to shoot it. So I pass the ball to Richie. Richie pump fakes. He gives it back to me. He wants me to shoot it. And like, we're just going back and forth for like 5 seconds. We waste 5 seconds off the shot clock, and then I end up missing three. But it was just like that. That's like how unselfish we are. Like, we both want each other to shoot and make that game winning shot.
Now, Richie mentioned, Richie mentioned specifically a couple of days ago when I was talking with him that he believes people will be surprised at how unselfish your team is on the defensive side of the ball, that everybody likes to guard. Yeah. Why do you feel like that is such a thing as far as the identity of this specific squad goes?
I don't know. There's just something about like the passion in our team. Like, we just have a whole bunch of dogs, I think. And like, it's fun guarding. Like, I enjoy guarding like myself. Like, I like stopping like players. Like, if they're usually scoring 20 points a game, I like making them score 12. That's just like the type of person I am. But I think our identity as a defensive team is going to like be severely underrated, because we're going to be known as an offensive team because, you know, we score a lot of points.
For sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. You guys will score a lot. If you guys can get stops, you guys are going to be extremely good. And you guys will be able to do that. You have the personnel to be able to do that. I want to talk a little, AJ, about the recruiting process, right? Like, I want to talk about your recruiting process specifically, because you probably had one of the craziest recruiting processes out there with all the schools that wanted you to come to their program, obviously with NIL involved. So what was that process like? And then ultimately, why did you end up picking BYU?
That was easy for me, Spencer. No, I ain't talked to no coaches until I dropped my top seven.
Right.
So offer I got, they called my dad, and my dad would merge with their call, and they'll be like, you got offer. I'll say thank you and everything. And then when it was time to narrow my list, I narrowed it to seven. And then I went on 7 visits total.
Yeah.
And I heard it down. But BYU was my last visit. My dad actually, like, he didn't force me to go to the BYU visit, but he was like, bro, put it on the list. Like, just trust me. And like, my dad is like an instinct. Like, my dad and mama, like, instinct for things. I was like, all right, okay, I'll go to BYU. I came here. Then I learned about KY. So I hit up Kevin Durant. I asked him, like, what you know about him? He's like, bro, great guy. Like, you're going to love him. Like, just go on a visit. Trust me. Then I came on the visit. They started chanting me and JJ's name at the football game. I went to go watch a basketball game. They was chanting my name in the rock, and I was running up the rock. I was like, it was like, I can't not come here. Like, it'll be dumb of me if I don't come here with all, like, the support and, like, the family atmosphere that it was.
AJ, everybody thinks they know why you chose BYU. Everyone's got the professional opinion. It's like, how about you let AJ tell you why he chose BYU, which you have just gone into. And obviously your dad, Ace, was a big part of helping you recognize what BYU could potentially offer. And you showed up and you had those experiences that you just talked about. But then there's this, well, NIL, and clearly this was just a money-based thing. But you have refuted that. You've been like, no. It was not about that. So while it is important to set you up for your future, and let's be real to the situation, you want to make the smart decision financially and emotionally and physically and spiritually. Why was it that BYU had all of those things as a complete package compared to some of the other programs that might have been offering more money?
Yeah, like, for me and my family, like, my dad always says, like, we're a very stable family. Like, I'm going to college for myself and potentially, like, going pro for myself. Like, I don't got to do it for, you know, my family. Obviously, they're my motivation to go do it, but it's like, my ultimate goal is obviously to go to the NBA, so I'm not trying to make 10 times more money to go to a program that's not as good as a BYU to just get more money. If my ultimate goal is to go to the NBA and I'll be hopefully making that type of money, I just tried to pick the best decision that's going to prepare me for the NBA, and which clearly we have an NBA program, one NBA style offense, NBA style defense. KY brought NBA staff, Michael Davy in the strength program. Like, we just have all, it's all NBA. It's literally Provo.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think Coach Young has done an incredible job his first year there, just to go to the Sweet 16, have the run that he had. Obviously, his recruiting has been top notch, getting you, Rob, guys like Xavier, like, got these guys that are coming in that, you know, it's the type of talent that we haven't actually seen at BYU before. You know, but KY was as a person, I want to go into that a little bit. What do you know about him? What makes him tick? Why do you like him specifically as a person and as a coach?
He's a good guy. Like, he's super chill. If you know KY, for, like, he's super chill, laid back. Like, he liked to be in the cut, and like, he has a different type of, like, coaching style. Like, when I was growing up, I was used to, like, hard level, I get yelled at, like, type of coaching. And then when I met him, he was like, I'm not really gonna yell at you. Like, I'm gonna just go tell you the real. And it's like, okay, like, now we're like, it's men to men speaking. Like, I don't gotta just get yelled at for me to listen. And he has way better knowledge than I would say 90% of college coaches because of his NBA experience. So it's like, even if he's not yelling, it's going to be dumb for me to not listen because he's coached my favorite player. He's coached Devin Booker, Chris Paul. Like, it's just going to be dumb for us not to listen. So it's just like, might as well take that knowledge. Like, more experience, the better.
How has he changed your game specifically? And I know it hasn't been that long that you've been on campus, relatively speaking. You played a ton of basketball. But since you have been working specifically with Kevin Young, how has he changed and impacted your individual game?
Yeah, I think my defensive intensity level rose. Like, I thought I was always a two-way player, but there wasn't as much passion as it is now. And I'm just trying to simplify my game, trying to do everything in less dribbles, not trying to be super, super fancy with everything.
You know, obviously you're still young and in your career. Who has been your most influential person in your basketball career up to this point? Has it been a high school coach? Has it been a family member? Like, who's been your most influential person?
My dad, for sure. He forced me to play basketball when I was five, and he's still criticizing me to this day.
You guys play one-on-one? You guys play one-on-one still, or did you used to?
One-on-one, I was like seven. We had like an 8-foot hoop in the backyard. He dunked. He claims he dunked on me, but it was like a... And then he never played me again. I never got to beat him. So he actually is undefeated against me.
See that? Hey, that is a smart father right there. That's impressive. He knew it was coming. He's like, if I let him get to like 9 years old, he's going to start dunking on me. So because of that, he's like, I am done. I'm just going to coach you.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious. Like, that is such an elite dad move by Ace to be able to hold that card against you forever.
That is great.
Oh, AJ, these are the gems we showed up for, my friend. this is where it's at in this conversation. Okay. I've asked you this before, but I liked your answer, so I'd like you to share it with all of our watchers and listeners here again. When did you first realize, I'm actually pretty good at basketball? I could make something out of this.
Yeah, like I said, it was like COVID, like around COVID. Like, I was playing like video games. Everybody's on Fortnite at the time. I was like prime Fortnite. School was closed. No gyms available. I'm bored. I'm telling my dad, like, yo, I'm trying to play basketball. He's like, you for real? Like, because I was just playing it for fun. And then he used to drive me 50 minutes to Rhode Island every day. Like, you know, the Boston, Rhode Island, I was like 50 minutes. And then when I came back the next summer, like, I grew to like 5 inches. I was already just like way more skilled. And I was like, wait, whoa. And then me and my dad, I sat down. I was like, yo, like, we can go to school for free. That's when like the NBA was like reality. So that's when I just started like really working hard at it.
That's awesome. What a cool story. So for you, what has it been like? Because obviously you've been in the limelight now for a little while at a young age. What has that been like for you? Because that's not necessarily normal, and it's probably not easy to deal with, but how have you been able to deal with that, having such notoriety and so many eyeballs on you, whether it's social media, all that stuff, while continuing to work on your game and maintain a level head from all the accounts and people that know you? You're just a good guy, and you treat people the right way. How have you been able to navigate that at such a young age?
That was hard, because I've probably been in the limelight since I was like 13, and this is I'm a kid, like, I'm hitting puberty cameras on me, like, so what, I mean, you just gotta, like, I mean, my dad always tell me, like, comes with it, like, by the time, if you make it to the NBA, like, you gotta answer questions after a loss, you gotta answer questions after this, so it's like, all right, it's really prepping me for that next level. But, I mean, not everybody is built to have, like, cameras just following them around, and me, like, if you know me as the person, I'm actually pretty laid back, I don't want a lot of things in the limelight, but it's like, a lot of people love me and love my story and want to see what I'm doing. I try to provide it for them. That's why I just created my YouTube channel, so they can see like both sides of it. But like as a regular, like, it's hard. Like, do I want time? Do I want to be in the media? Like, do I wish I can just go to Walmart and just shop? Yeah, but I mean, I do love the support, and I'm never gonna take the love and fans for granted.
AJ, a big part of your story is giving back to the communities, and this is international. Whether you're in places like Jamaica or back in your hometown of Brockton, Massachusetts, you are finding groups of people that can benefit from a boost, some help. And this has been a really big push. Obviously, your parents, who are amazing people, have played a large role in this. But what have you felt and noticed as you've used your faith in giving back to the community and faith in God to go and do these things and maintain that level of perspective while your basketball fame grows?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, me and my family was just destined for it. Obviously, when I was younger, I was, like, four. My dad took us back to the Congo, and he went to his middle school, and he gave away pens and pencils. And then my dad told me, like, one day it's going to be you. And then I think it was, like, it was 2 years ago when I got my first NIL deal with Nike. I did a little, like, Nike backpack giveaway, and then my dad was, like, damn near in tears because he was, like, it was really a full circle moment. So, I mean, I think, like, now I just enjoy it. Like, I really love seeing kids smile, like, off of me. When I was growing up, I wasn't really going, like, to giveaways and stuff, so I'm happy that I can be that for, like, the city of Broughton and traveling to, like, Jamaica or my mom's or stuff like that.
That's so important to do. I love that you do that, to give back to the communities, give that back to the people that look up to you, be a good example, because you do have a platform, like we talked about, right? You have a platform that people want to see what you're doing. They're going to follow what you're doing. So if you can be out there and be a good example and continue to do the right things like you have been doing, it's just such a help to the young generation of understanding. To give back is a good thing, and it's a cool thing to do, and it's good to be kind to people. So I love that you do that. It's absolutely incredible stuff. And segueing to NIL, you just mentioned a little bit about the NIL with the Nike, you know, you had the NIL deal a couple years back. How has that been for you, being able to balance all the NIL deals that you do have with the photo sessions, the posts that you have to do, understanding all of that side while being a student at BYU and now also playing basketball? How have you been able to balance that? Because it's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, like, the photo shoots are tough, obviously, because it's like 3 hours of you just like sitting there. But it's like, I mean, you just got to do it. Like, you're representing the brand, like, you just got to do it. There's like, there's no complaints about it. But like the social media stuff like that, like, I have a team that helps me, and my dad really handles a lot of stuff. So it's like, I'm really focusing on books and ball. I don't really do like too much out of it.
Yeah. What's your favorite class? Like if you weren't playing basketball, right? What's your favorite class? What's your interest? What's your thoughts there?
Like, my favorite subject growing up was science, because like I always like doing like hands-on labs and stuff like that. My favorite class right now might be, we have like University 101, and it's like all athletes in our class. So we have like from football, we have like a starting quarterback in our class, from like gymnastics, softball, to soccer, to the whole almost all basketball teams in the class. So that's one of the fun classes.
Yeah, been there.
How has the BYU experience in the classroom been overall, AJ? Because I know you're a guy that likes to get after it in the classroom as well.
Yeah, no, it's been cool. Like, people are normal. Like, they're regular people. Like, we'd be having fun in the class. We'd be doing group discussions. They'd be talking. I'd be talking. It'd just be regular.
So you've mentioned before, like, you loved your time at Utah Prep, which is in the southern part of the state, closer to St. George, because you liked the laid-back style. And you said, well, I can go to the grocery store and it's not going to be chaos. Like, how has that changed, if at all, moving up to Provo, where you are obviously a little bit more recognized?
Oh, yeah. Now it's way different. Every time I walk at Walmart, I'm going to get noticed. I'm going to take 12 pictures.
At least.
This is something Jimmer can relate with.
Hey,
Jimmer,
listen,
you know this life.
It happens, least, right? It happens. Go ahead.
At least I can go to class. Jimmer couldn't go.
Man, that was a tough one. Had to start taking some stuff online at the end of the year, and you're gonna get there. That's the problem. Like, it's probably gonna happen for you at some point. But I stayed for all 4 years. That's probably not gonna be the case for you. But so by the time you get to that point, you're probably off to a different spot. So that's great though. Love hearing that. Just quickly, talking about Utah Prep. How did you end up going to Utah Prep in the first place? Like, how did that come about? Tell me their origin story there.
Tell you, like, my dad's just like a wizard. Like, yeah. I really don't know how he does it. Like, we would transfer. He's like, you got two options. You need to go here or here. I'm like, I don't know anywhere about the two of the places. So you just choose for me. Okay, you're gonna use that prep. And that's how I have it. I really didn't have no say.
That's great. Just follow up. Just follow on that. How was Coach Smart, Keith Smart? Because he coached me when I was in the NBA for a while. Yeah. So I'm curious your thoughts. How was Coach Smart? He's a great dude.
It was a tough spot because we got him in the middle of the year, which is just tough to coach or players. But it was like, he's bringing a different side of the game. Like, he's bringing NBA knowledge. He's bringing college experience. So I learned a lot. I took a lot from it. I don't know how other people took it, but I tried to, like, take a lot from it. Like, he tried to put in certain sets where we would see certain defenses that we'll see. So it was only tough because we only had him for like 4 months, but
yeah,
good experience.
It's great. AJ DiBonsa is on From the Logo. You've talked about some of the guys that you reached out to when you were making your decision about where to attend college and play your hoops at the university level. Kevin Durant's in there. I know you look up to him. Who else are the guys that are in the NBA or maybe have recently been in the NBA that have helped you and continue to mentor you to this day?
I say my biggest, like my top five is probably Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, because I'm from the Boston area, so I see him a lot. Paulo, he's closer to my age, so he can relate to a lot more. And then I was just with Keontae George yesterday. So,
my dad's. What are those guys specifically telling you to help you get ready mentally and physically for your approaching season at BYU?
I mean, there's a lot of things. Like Keontae went to our live practice, and then we were working out after getting shots after, and then I was doing the ball screen, like, you know, ball handling wrong. He's like, no, this is what you got to do. Listen, made the shot. No, it's just certain stuff like that. But a lot of them would just try to, like, if I ask them for advice, like, they're not, like, super stingy with it. They'll give some sauce back.
Is Keontae talking trash about Baylor, AJ?
I mean, no. I mean, he went to Baylor. Hopefully, actually, want like he should go to the game. They might be in season. Should. He should really go to the game.
If he has day off, you'll see him there. That's for sure. If he has day off, you'll see him there. So BYU related question: Who's the toughest guard besides yourself? Who's the toughest guard on the team? Like toughest. who's the hardest to guard?
Rob, for sure.
Rob, for sure.
Rob is that fast. Like he's that fast.
You know what? I really dislike fast guys. Like that. Brother. That was one thing for me. Like
I want to guard somebody fast. I'm 6'9".
I'm over here. Yeah. Well, I'm slow, right? Like at least you got length. I'm slow. But the thing is, you know, the first time I ever got to the NBA, and you play prime Derrick Rose, or you play against, or you play against Russell Westbrook. You're like, how am I supposed to stay in front of this person? Like. Yeah. Legitimately, there is absolutely no way. So you're giving them like 8 feet and just hoping that they're missing threes. That's exactly. The only thing you can do, right?
Yeah. And then you give him that much space and he still blows by you and you're like 8 feet behind him. It doesn't make any sense.
He still blows by you. I'm like, what the heck happened? How did this? And then he dunks it. You know, I'm like, unbelievable stuff. That's great.
All right, AJ, one more big question before we get to open gym and open up this conversation to some of our fans who are anxiously awaiting your answers to their questions. Yeah. And that is maybe the question of questions, which I'm sure you've been asked a million times. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Are you in Camp Jordan? Are you in Camp LeBron? Maybe Camp Kobe? Where do you fall?
No, I always say it's 1A, 1B, but I still give the 1A to Jordan.
It's a great answer.
You have spoken logic to the basketball masses, AJ. Yes. Thank you.
It's a great answer. You can't go wrong with saying Michael Jordan. Like, who's going to be like, yeah, no, that's not the right answer. I mean, there might be a few people out there, but I mean, the guy won 6 championships, 3, you know what I mean? Like, that's the pinnacle of success is winning. And he won, right? How do you dispute that?
Yeah, and recently I've been watching a lot of old LeBron, so I went to like 2003.
Yeah.
And I thought, just off of just like, I never watched. I watched The Last Dance and that showed me a lot. Then after The Last Dance, I watched a lot of Jordan highlights. I never went back and watched old LeBron. So I thought the gap was much bigger than what it was. Mm. After watching old LeBron, the gap like this.
100%. I mean, so, I played against LeBron. And, you know, when you're there and you're in person, I don't understand how he's that much better than everybody else. Like, he just is. He's that much better than everybody else on the court, and he's that more athletic than everybody else on the court. And it's pretty, pretty incredible. You know, obviously that's a 1A, 1B thing that you can argue it to the cow comes home. It's hard to say. I have one more last question for you before we get to open gym real quick. Which game or venue are you most excited about this year? Because you guys have an incredible schedule and I'm so excited about it. But what are you crossing off on your list and circling?
I'll say Madison Square. I can't touch this.
Man.
You know, it's like Mecca, literally.
Literally the Mecca. That's my favorite arena in the world.
It happens to be where Jimmer had his best NBA game ever. We talked about it last podcast. 6 threes, 24 points, and a win by the Kings over the Knicks. So fun to make that connection. Okay, we're going to call a quick timeout, AJ. When we return, You will take on our listener questions in Open Gym as From the Logo continues.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
From the Logo rolls on, and we now open up things to our listeners and viewers with your submitted questions from social media straight to our guests. We call it Open Gym, where everybody takes their shot. Our first question comes in from @devnck22 on X, AJ, who asks, how do you like to spend your downtime while traveling with teammates?
I literally just bought a PlayStation like 3 weeks ago. I've been grinding 2K. So I definitely gonna be building for the downtime.
That's a great. Who are you playing with on 2K? Like, who's your go-to team? Is it KD?
We build our own players.
Oh, you're building your own. Wow. Is the player that you're building literally you, or
no? I kind of made him 7'4", like Wemby. I like me.
Hybrid AJ DuBonsa Victor Wembanyama.
A little
good luck against that guy.
A little 7'4" shooter. No big deal. That's great. All right,
the ultimate player.
All right, next question we have here comes from @DFW_Cougar. Where does your desire to give back to the community come from, AJ?
Like I said, my dad really, like, he, that's what really, like, sparked everything, me going back and seeing it. So I feel like I was, like, destined to do it.
Okay, final question, AJ. This one from @X_Hems. He asks, what was it like hanging out with Shaq Diesel?
Yo, is like what you see on TV is literally him. We had to do like a it was like a little commercial, and they gave me a script. So I'm trying to learn words. Shaq comes in, no script, and does the whole thing, no script, and then like I'm just going off of his script, and like basically like that was like the best commercial they ever filmed.
Well, he does. I mean, I feel like he's done that a few times, right? You can tell that he's a professional. He's been on TV. He knows what he's doing, but I've heard, you know, I've met him a few times, but he just seems like a really fun hang. Let's just be honest. It just feels like it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's got unique perspective for sure. So in terms of basketball and giving you advice for your future from Shaq, what types of things is he telling you?
You know, I really didn't ask him any questions that day. I was just really just there for another business that we had to do. But I mean, my advisor knows him. My advisor used to advise him, so I can definitely get that contact if I ever need any.
I love that. Yeah. Great stuff. We appreciate the question submitted in Open Gym for AJ DuBonsa. AJ,
Let's give them one more question.
What, you want one more question?
Yeah, one more question.
All right. Here, we're on the fly. Okay, here we go. Okay, so this one from @TJ_Davis, and he asks you, AJ, if you had one prize shoe in your collection, what would it be?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Many shoes. Basketball shoe. My own shoe.
All right. I mean, touche on that. Touche on that. Do you have any others that you like? I mean, your own shoes, obviously, that's number one.
And my favorite shoes are probably playing. Kobe fives. So any like crazy Kobe five that Kobe's worn once and never seen again.
Everybody loves the Kobe Bryant shoe. Yeah. I mean, the Kobe's they're a phenomenal shoe. Like, there's people that won't play basketball unless they have a Kobe on. There we go.
On demand. On demand.
Out.
He's ready to go now. Oh, AJ, awesome stuff, man. Good to catch up with you.
Thank you.
We're so thrilled for your basketball career and future, and can't wait to watch you ball out in the Marriott Center and beyond, man.
For sure. Go Cougs.
Thanks, AJ. Go Cougs.
How about that conversation with one of the most budding superstars in the basketball world in AJ DuBonsa? And just I loved it, Jimmer, that he was so insightful as to what his family and his dad mean to him in his career and in his path getting to where he is now.
Yeah, no, it was a great interview. Obviously, he loves his dad. He loves his family. It's incredible to see when young kids and their families are so close and they're doing good, right? They're out there doing things that are important in the world, not just basketball, but helping kids, finding time to speak with the youth, to understand what is important in this life and what he's gone through and the different things that he can talk to the youth about. So it was really awesome to see that. His dad, Ace, is awesome, and just happy to have him on the pod. It was a lot of fun.
Now, I imagine that the rankings list that we're about to roll out, that we will try and do at least one of these every week, that on this list, there are a few names that would love to have A.J. DiBonsa playing for their current basketball program right now.
Probably. Like, I'm going to venture off and say that's probably the right answer.
That's a guarantee. Let's go ahead and yep, that is happening. Specifically, it is the top college basketball coaches you would want to start a program with right now, including considerations of age, recruiting, success, and the future of those programs. So from 5 to 1, Jimmer, who are the top college basketball coaches you would want to start a program right now?
Yeah, see, that's the kicker, right? I'm talking about right now, because there's a lot of great coaches out there that have been doing it for a long time, but I'm looking for a future, maybe the next 10 years. Like, who do you want to start a program with? And I got 5 great names here, I think. Okay. So first one, number 5, we're going to go with an A and a B, because I can't decide between the two. Right. So we got Nate Oates and Mark Pope. Nate Oates for Alabama, Mark Pope for Kentucky, obviously coached at BYU. Those two are neck and neck for that 5 spot. They both had success in this the tournament recently. Nate has done such a great job of recruiting. They crushed BYU last year, unfortunately, shot the lights out. And, Coach Pope's done a great job of recruiting, and I don't see that stopping. They're at two great programs. I don't see that stopping for either one of those two.
Is this because they give you the green light to shoot the 3 wherever you want on the floor, Jimmer? Does this have anything to do with you playing for them?
It's partly. Where would I want to play, right? Like, that's yes. That's these rankings. So where would I want to play? Those guys will let me shoot the ball. Awesome. Okay. Number 4, we're going to go with yours truly, Kevin Young. Okay. We're putting Kevin in here. I know it's only been 1 year. I don't care. The guy knows what he's doing. You see with his recruiting who he's bringing into the program. He's a guy that I want on my side for the next 10 years, because he knows what he's doing. He brings that pro style. He's bringing Provo to Provo, and it's just amazing. So what he's done so far has been awesome. Coach Young, number 4. Number 3, national champion head coach Todd Golden. People may not think about him, necessarily on some of those rankings. He has done an incredible job with Florida, obviously. They won the national championship. But he also did a really great job before that at USF in San Francisco. He was a great coach, and I got to watch him a lot because BYU used to play him, and he was always had his teams prepared, and they were always really good. Obviously, moved to a bigger program, got some NIL money, brought in some players, won a national championship. He's done a great job. Number 2, John Shire, Duke.
See, that's my guy. That's my guy. I'd want to play for that dude, Jimmer.
I would too. I would want to play for John, and he's a shooter. So because of that, we have some stuff in common. I know John a little bit. He is an intense guy. He knows his stuff. He's smart. He's a student of the game. He is well wise beyond his years. Obviously, he played at Duke, so he has, that sense of loyalty and, being an alum. He just has a different style that other coaches would bring that maybe were not part of the program. He's done an unbelievable job coming off of Coach K. How do you even live up to that? Right. One of the best coaches of all time to come into that and still keep the program super relevant, getting to Final Fours, bringing in the Boozer twins. Shout out to Carlos, my guy who I played in Chicago. He's a great dude. John has done a really good job, and I don't see that going anywhere, but he is my number 2. And my number 1 is Dan Hurley.
Ooh, UConn.
UConn. 2 national championships back to back. The recruiting is great. He's super he's always going to be relevant. The thing I love about him is he is very creative offensively. Very creative. A lot of the stuff that he is implementing in his offense are things that you're seeing at other universities and also in the NBA all over the world. You're seeing a lot of his stuff being used. So he's very innovative. He's obviously extremely intense. He gets the best out of his players. Maybe too intense at times, right? Maybe too intense at times. I will say that. Maybe simmer down a little bit, coach, every once in a while. But he gets the best out of his players. And he is my number one because I do not see UConn's a powerhouse. I don't see it going anywhere because of his coaching ability, his recruiting ability, and the style of play. So those are my top five. Just so I know, okay? Remember, 10 years, okay? Some of the honorable mentions I had that have been legends, obviously Tom Izzo, Mark Few, Bill Self, Bruce Pearl, Matt Painter, Kelvin Sampson, all amazing coaches, oh, yeah. Obviously could put on the list, but I'm looking at 10-year future. That's what I'm looking at from this list. Not necessarily best coaches now, but who I want for 10 years.
A little bit of a controversial number one, Jimmer, and I like that you're sticking to it, man, because there are some people that see what Dan Hurley is in small clips on social media and his most emotional moments. But when you get down to the X's and O's, the competitive nature, and you ask his players about him,
yep.
My gosh, those dudes that play for UConn love Dan Hurley.
They run through a wall for him, and they play like it, right? Like, it's just all in the play. When they get out in the court, they know what they're doing. They are very well prepared, and he makes sure that they're well prepared, and he makes sure that they have their roles and what they do, and they get out there and they perform. Back-to-back national championships. How do you even do that? Right? Like you can't argue with that. Dan is my number one. So sorry.
Or sorry, not sorry, to bring back the old phrase. Do people still say that, by the way? Does anybody say that anymore?
Hey, sorry, not sorry. Demi Lovato song. Shout out to Demi. Love that song. Sorry, not sorry. Yes, of course I say it still.
As dubbed by the middle-aged vanilla man, as our friend Jamal Williams would call us. Okay. The 3x3 update is next. This is your happy place, Jimmer. It's
so
basketball
good.
Heavy today. Basketball heavy, and we're rounding it out with the 3x3 update. When From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette continues.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
From the Logo into the final quarter with our USA Basketball 3x3 update, you know who's about to join us. It's GM Jimmer. He's got the latest on the drive for the gold medal in 2028 from his 3x3 teams across the globe who continue to work hard and it feels like are in constant tournaments. This is your weekly rule of the game. On top of that update, to get more acclimated with one of the newest and fastest growing Olympic sports in popularity, Jimmer, what would you like to start with today in your 3x3 update?
Yeah, first of all, good luck to our U23 World Cup team. They're in China. Playing. We hope that they do super well. They're ready. They play tomorrow evening, our time. So I'm super excited about that. Hope the guys can go out there and go crush it and get out of pool play and then, you know, hopefully bring home the gold. So good luck to those guys. Today, we're not necessarily going to talk about a rule. Okay. But we're going to talk about the ball, the actual 3x3 ball. Okay. You don't know this, but it's a little bit different. Okay. The 3x3 ball is a women's size.
Okay.
But a men's weight. Women's size, men's weight.
Interesting.
Both the men and the women play with the same ball, right? It's interesting because I think they do that because you're playing outside. There's a little bit more variance. There's a little bit more wind that's involved. There's the sun. There's a lot of things that go on. They give you a little bit extra to be able to make that shot. So it's a little bit different at first. You know, when you start dribbling the ball, you're like, wait, this is smaller. But the weight is the same size. And I feel the weight is more important than the size from what I've gathered. because I went back and I was like, all right, let me try to shoot a women's basketball. And it feels different because it's less, it's not as heavy as the men's basketball. But with the same weight, I ended up loving the basketball, obviously, because, you know, more variance to go in. You know, I didn't need that much variance anyway. But it was, it's a perfect spot. And the ball is always a blue and a like a royal blue and a yellow ball. And it has grooves in it, right? So besides the lines, it has like three or four grooves in between each panel of the basketball. So it feels like those wave basketballs. If you remember those wave basketballs.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's literally what that basketball feels like. So for some reason, they put the grooves in it. I don't know why they put the grooves in it. Can't give you that answer. But that is the basketball. It's definitely weird. It's different. You'll see it. When you see it up close and you feel it, you'll be like, wow, this is not the same size that I thought it was. But once you get to play with it a lot, you actually really end up enjoying and liking that basketball. So that's the update today. That's not necessarily the rule, but the basketball is different.
Okay. Is this something you can just like go out and buy? Like, or do you have to special order this specific type of basketball?
No, you can buy it. You can buy the basketball. Just go Google it. 3x3, FIBA 3x3 basketball, and it'll come up. I believe it's a Wilson basketball. So you can get it from the store, get it from Amazon. And I actually, like, USA Did Basketball didn't provide me with one. I just bought my own. I just bought like three of them and used them for the rest of the time. So actually USA Basketball, you need to reimburse me for that now. So, but...
That's but, hilarious.
But yes, you can go buy them. You can go buy them online.
Jimmy, you're telling me that literally the number one ranked 3x3 basketball player in the world in 2024 had to buy his own basketballs?
I mean, I did. I probably could have asked them. I'm sure they would have provided it for me, but I was like, you know, this is just way quicker. Amazon will be here. Amazon will be here in 2 days. Not even. You know what I mean? Like, USA Basketball, it could take a while. So I just decided to do it on my own.
That's in the same category as Britton Covey having to pay to park at the Eagles complex so that he could walk in and then play the game for Philadelphia.
What a classic story that was. It's not as bad as that, but, you know, I did spend some funds getting into the, being able to work out with the basketball. So,
okay. Last mini question based on the weight of the ball and the dynamics that you brought up playing outdoor. Was there ever a time in any of the hundreds of tournaments it felt like you played in 3x3 where the wind was blowing so significantly that you're thinking, I'm going to shoot this 12 inches to the right or 6 inches to the right so that it goes in?
We do not say the W word when we get to a tournament. Okay. We do not say that because, yes, let me tell you a quick story. So we went to Marseille, France. If you've never been to Marseille, France, it is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Right on the beach. It is a great place. Beautiful sunny skies. We loved it. The year prior to when we played in this tournament, they had it indoors, actually. There's some tournaments that they do have indoor. And for me, I loved it when it was indoor because I knew there was no variance. My shot was going in no matter what. Every once in a while in some of these tournaments, you get to the, you know, these places and the sun's behind the basket, the wind, whatever it is. There's a lot of elements. The court's crooked. It's like this, whatever. So we get to Marseille. And we're walking around town and we see these women in USA gear. And we're like, whoa, what's going on there? So we go over there. We run over there. We talk to them. We're like, hey, just so you know, we're here with USA Basketball as well. We're in the 3x3 tournament. What are you guys here for? And they said, well, we're here for sailing. And I was like, for sailing? They're like, yes, the winds in Marseille are so world known. That it's so windy here that you have perfect sailing. And we are playing our tournament less than a mile from the ocean. And the wind was 40 miles per hour. We had 40 mile per hour winds while we were playing basketball in Marseille. Stuff was flying off of the stands. I'm not joking. And we were supposed to play in this. And I sat there. I was like, you have to be kidding me that we have to play this game right now. When last year it was indoors, I understand why it was indoors now. And they put it outside and the one thing I will say, do not try to play the wind. You have to shoot it straight because when you play the wind stops and then it's an air ball by a foot. It's just how it works. And if it's off, it's off. It is what it is, but try to shoot it. It's mentally difficult. I had to shoot it outside a lot to get over that, but Yes, the wind has affected it sometimes, and then you have to have a low post player, and that's
what's yeah. Basketball in its purest form, Jimmer.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know.
In Marseille, with the wind blowing 40 miles an hour.
Unbelievable.
It sounds miserable, but that's a fantastic story. Hey, great stuff. We appreciate the insight into 3x3 and the world of basketball in that realm. A reminder that if you would like to submit questions for me, for Jimmer, for our guests on any show in the future, it's pretty simple. Follow us on all of our social media accounts at JimmerFTL. We got TikTok, Instagram, a little X action as well. You can send in your questions using the hashtag OpenGymFTL as well. All right, Jimmer, hard to believe that the episode is already over. Basketball heavy episode, no less. Do you have any final thoughts?
Be a lot more of those coming up, Spence. A lot more basketball coming up. Thanks to AJ. Appreciate you. Thanks to our fans. Thanks to our listeners. This thing is rolling. It's been so fun, and we'll see you next week.
Jimmer's got to get out and shoot in the wind of Colorado, so we need to wrap this thing up.
Buckets.
Don't
buckets.
Play the wind. Just shoot it at the target. Great stuff. A reminder to all of you to shoot your shot in life. We'll see you next episode.